On today's episode, we have part two of our conversation about why retirement planning is harder now than it used to be. What was different in previous generations that made planning simpler and straightforward? And why is it more complex today? And what can we do about it as folks trying to prepare for a successful retirement future? Well, we've got five more great points to cover on today's episode, so let's get to them. This is the Retirement Roadmap.
It's time for the Retirement Roadmap podcast with registered financial consultant Glenn Mosseller.
Thanks for joining us on the Retirement Roadmap today. Walter Storholt back with you here for part two of this conversation about retirement planning, a little bit harder these days than it used to be, alongside Glenn Mosseller, registered financial consultant and the founder and president of Roadmap Financial Consulting. Find us online at roadmapfinancial.com. All right, Glenn, we covered 5 points on our previous episode. We continue with 6 through 10 today of why retirement planning is harder than it used to be. Next on our list is going to be lower healthcare costs. It's not only because of inflation, but just in general, healthcare was just a little bit more affordable in the past. Would you say that's a pretty accurate assessment?
No, I think that's right, Walter. I mean, there's certainly inflation, and you know, in healthcare, as over time, you know, had a higher inflation rate than a lot of other things in the economy. There's a lot of different reasons for that. You know, I mean, it used to be, you know, long ago, before a lot of insurance and whatnot, you know, you had the family doctor, and you know, it was direct pay. You know, it's almost like going to the store. Now it's not like that at all, right? And so it's a situation where, you know, you go to the doctor or you go to the hospital, and you sign some papers, but no money's changing hands typically, you know, right off the bat, and then the insurance companies get involved, and then they cover certain things, and then they price it differently depending on how they code it and this and that, and somehow or another, you know, the costs end up becoming more and more, and it's overwhelming and how complicated it's become, but the bottom line is that the costs of everything have gone up, as well as the fact that you have technology and advancements in science that when you have those breakthroughs in the research that costs money too, right? And so all of those things combined just create a situation where healthcare costs are something that are they're just significantly different than what they used to be.
Yeah, it's a really good point, I think, Glenn, and that's dovetails nicely into the next one on our list, which is shorter life expectancies. Now, I feel a little uncomfortable couching this one as previous generations benefited from shorter life expectancies. That doesn't necessarily go hand in hand, but it did make planning for multiple years of retirement a little bit easier than today's extended retirements for most people.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just a basic. It comes down to math, right, Walter?
Yeah.
I mean, the longer you live, that means that there are more years that your retirement savings has to last, right? And so again, yeah, you're not really, like saying, oh gosh, we wish we had shorter life expectancies, but at the same time, because obviously you want to live as long as you have your health, and things are going well, you want to just keep going, right? I mean, that's just that's normal. But the reality is that life expectancies are longer, and depending upon how far back you go, I mean, significantly longer than they used to be. So in today's world, if you retire and 60, 65, and you potentially live to 85, 90 or beyond, I mean, that's a long time, in retirement. It used to be a much shorter time frame in general terms, right? And so if you're looking at way back when, maybe there was a 5, 10, 15 years of retirement, whereas now it might be 20 to 25 or maybe 30 years of retirement or more. There's more planning that has to go into that in a lot of cases to make sure that that money lasts, because it's just there's more money going to be spent in those years where you're not working. Right. I mean, so your previous to your working years, you had to save enough to be able to make it last through all those retirement years. And the longer you live, then it's just, like I say, it is what it is. Right, Walter?
Is what it is. I saw that on somebody's on a bumper sticker yesterday. It said it is, and then real small beneath it was it is what, and then in big letters again below, it is. So, yeah, it's a great point, Glenn. All right, so that is two big ones to start off today. The lower healthcare costs of the previous generations combined with shorter life expectancies made that retirement equation a little bit easier to figure out than it is today. The other big interesting one here, Glenn, is that we had fewer sandwich generation issues and challenges in prior generations. First of all, explain what a sandwich generation is for those who don't know, and we are seeing an uptick in those situations these days, right?
Right. Well, I mean, it has to do with the shorter and longer life expectancies, right, Walter? I mean, you know, you have the idea here is that, you know, if in the sandwich generation, you've got aging parents that you were wanting and needing to give care to and attention to. You know, past generations, you know, folks didn't live as long. So you have more of that in today's world, as well as, you know, your kids, right? You know, the kids have needs and they're growing up and becoming, you know, going into their adulthood and whatnot. And so you're getting potentially pressure from both sides that people that you care about and you love and you want to make sure that they're doing all right. You also have to try to think about, you know, taking care of yourself and your spouse at the same time. So it's just like, it's a sandwich. You're kind of getting squeezed on both sides. It's not necessarily a bad thing because they're people you love and care about and want to do the right thing by, but nonetheless, you still have there's only so many hours in a day and things can get stressful when you're going in so many different directions.
Yeah, it's a really good point there, and very easy to see why more people in the house, more people under your wing of support does make the planning challenges increase along with it. All right, two more good points to make here, Glenn, and this would be that we had more contributors, this next one here, more contributors to Social Security. That math, that equation has totally flipped over the course of the last few generations.
Right. Right. And that's why there's been adjustments to this whole Social Security system, right? In terms of how the benefits are paid out and whatnot, and, you know, extending the retirement ages and all the different, you know, the taxation of Social Security, you know, and way back when, and, you know, it was no Social Security was subject to taxation. Now, you know, we've talked about this in previous episodes, Walter, where Social Security benefits can be subject to taxation based upon how much other income you have. So there's the government has figured out different ways to try to, you know, to extend the life of Social Security, and we're kind of coming up on that again. You know, now, I mean, there were major adjustments in, you know, the 1980s and the 1990s, and, you know, and we've gone quite a way, you know, quite a long time with, you know, without making adjustments. And, you know, we're at that place where Social Security is, you know, you see it on the news and different, you know, different things that are, you know, that come out that, you know, the Social Security funding has its challenges. And certainly, you know, I mean, I'm a believer that, you know, that in all likelihood, you know, assuming that politicians, you know, continue to like to get reelected, you know, that there are solutions on the table that they will come up with, but that, you know, they're going to have to go through the process of making that happen. And ultimately, you know, at least, you know, in the past, so, you know, it puts a little bit more burden on, you know, on the younger contributors, you know, to Social Security. And again, it could result in, you know, you know, a little bit higher, you know, higher taxation rates or whatnot, you know, or maybe, you know, you're going to have to work a little longer to get your full benefits. But, you know, it's a situation where there's less certainty to it than there once was. There's likely solutions that will get implemented, but at the same time, it's a more complicated, you know, whole system than it once was. When it first came out, it was pretty simple. And there was so many more, you know, contributors to it than beneficiaries. And now, like you say, it's flipped completely in the other direction. You know, and it's just, you know, it's a concern for folks and also for the government, and, you know, and it's, again, it's just something that will be addressed, and there will be folks, you know, particularly, like I say, if you're younger, you know, you'll probably end up paying more into that system, as well as, you know, you'll likely have to work a little longer, you know, to get your full benefits.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Glenn, and that Social Security issue, obviously the crux of a lot of retirement planning problems, the fact that that's just not as solid as it was in the past, and we've got to really account for that in the future. All right, last but not least, Glenn, a little bit of a curveball to end this one, because it's not so much about why our lifestyle circumstances are different or particular investment challenges and those kinds of things, but it comes down to education. And in the past, we kind of saw like the really you just didn't need to have a lot of financial literacy. Like just a little bit went a long way, I guess. So maybe it was it was easier to get to where you needed to be. Nowadays, there's so much more to learn. And, you know, it may not be as easy these days to achieve financial literacy, even if we have tons of information at our fingertips. That can be kind of a problem all on its own, right?
Well, you're exactly right, Walter. I mean, we kind of talked about this along the way in these two episodes, haven't we? I mean, it's just, there's more to know and more to understand. It's more complex. And so there's an element of self-educating. There's also an element of, you know, it's a good thing to, you know, from time to time, you see classes, you know, I mean, I've taught them, you know, as well, you know, and libraries or, you know, colleges and whatnot. And you try to gather information and understand more, you know, of what's out there, not only just the different financial products and whatnot, but just strategies and things to think about. You know, there's, you know, you don't want to have, you know, blind spots, you know, and because you don't know what you don't know. And so, you know, and you don't want to be in a situation where it's like, oh, well, if I had only known that, then I would have done this, you know. But it's really a challenge, Walter. I mean, you have to be, you know, somebody who's, you know, intellectually curious and, you know, and looking for, you know, looking to, you know, to learn more. And it's, you know, and for a lot of people, it's, you know, it's outside of their, you know, their comfort zone or their, you know, their normal, you know, stuff. I mean, it's just not that interesting to a lot of folks. But if you're really wanting to have a successful retirement, you know, your chances, you know, of having a successful retirement go up pretty dramatically, you know, if you do some, you know, study there and, you know, and also, you know, kind of develop a team around you, you know, I mean, and, you know, and then that, you know, might, you know, you maybe have a tax advisor, you know, somebody who, you know, not only just prepares your tax returns, but, you know, if you, you know, particularly if, you know, if you've accumulated a number of things over the years, you know, then you're, you know, in assets and, you know, and whatnot, you're going to want to try to protect it, you know, as best you can, you know, with some tax aware planning, as well as, you know, and, you know, financial advisor, you know, maybe, you know, an insurance agent, like we've talked about, like with, you know, with Medicare, you know, and, you know, all the different things that they come into play there. You know, there's so many moving parts and, you know, you need to know at least something about all of them. And then, like I say, you know, probably the easiest thing to do would be to, you know, pull together a team or, you know, or have, you know, have consultations, you know, maybe second opinions and, you know, and really, really do some interviewing of advisors, you know, and, you know, to kind of determine who do you really want to work with and who do you want to put on your team, if you will.
All good points there, Glenn, because I think that's just a really good way to cap this one off. Who are you going to put on your team to help you get to and through retirement? Is it going to be somebody that helps you achieve that financial literacy and understands how the landscape has changed over the years and knows how to plan for today's retirement planning landscape? Those are all really important things. And so if you've heard something on today's episode or have any questions about your own financial life and retirement plan, don't hesitate to reach out to Glenn Mosseller and the team at Roadmap Financial. It's very easy to do so. You can go to roadmapfinancial.com, click the free consultation button to meet at no cost or obligation from your smartphone or computer remotely, or come into the office in Greensboro, North Carolina, if you prefer as well. 336-291-3535 is the number to call to get in touch. That's 336-291-3535. But again, the easiest way, probably just go to roadmapfinancial.com. Glenn, thanks for all the help on today's episode and this two-part series, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
All right, Walter. Take care.
All right, you as well. That's Glenn Mosseller. I'm Walter Storholt. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Retirement Roadmap.